Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're studying today in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, chapter 1, text number 48.
Sri Yudhishthira Vacha. Vidvesho dayite putre katam asin mahatmani bruhi me bhagavan yena praladasya achutatmata.
The Yudhishthira translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, O my lord, Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakasipu and his beloved son, Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna? Kindly explain this to me. Purport. All the devotees of Lord Krishna are called Achyutatma because they follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Achyuta refers to the infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is also infallible. Because the devotees are attached to the infallible, they are called Achyutatma. Of the 7th canto, 1st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. In this material world, the living entity who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is helpless. He's completely helpless. But he thinks he's not helpless. He thinks he's completely protected, isn't it? By his family, his country, his society, his friendship, his love. He feels that he's totally protected. But at the time of death, none of these things can protect one. None of them. I had experience yesterday, but I won't describe the details. But I realized I had one endoscopy, where they put this tube down your throat, you know. And it goes way down in your throat. You're helpless. Someone's holding your face, someone's holding your hands, and they're shoving this thing down your throat. And the body is reacting by so many things, trying to regurgitate this tube out, fighting it. The body's fighting. So you're helpless, and there's just you and the mind. I was thinking at the time of death, the body is like this. It's the airs are going in, the airs are coming out. So many things are happening all at once. All at once they're happening. And there's great pain and discomfort. And can I remember Krishna? I was lying there, and I was trying to chant in my mind, because you can't chant with your mouth because these things are all inside and air is coming up, going in. They pump in this air. At the same time, it's coming up. Some yoga process, right? The outgoing air into the incoming air. But anyway, the suffering is there. So much suffering. And I had just met one devotee from Mathura. And he's chanting Radhe, Radhe, like this. Right? So when I went and I laid down on this table and I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna, like that, in my mind. But nothing, no Hare will come, only Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And I'm calling out in my mind, and then even in my mind, I'm saying, why I can't say like that boy was saying? Why I can't remember Radharani? But then I remembered, I better chant Krishna, because I don't know what's happening. We think we're completely protected, you know, we have some strength in our arms, or some strength in our body, or we have some money, or we have some fancy position in our job, or our parents are very wealthy. But at the time of death, we're helpless. And yesterday I was thinking, I'm totally helpless lying here. I have no choice. I could fight this person off, pull that tube out, and get up. But that's what the living entity is always thinking in the conditioned state. I can fight off this material energy. I can conquer anything that comes my way, because I am perfectly powerful and happy. The conditioned soul is thinking like that. So I tried to surrender to this process. You see? This is the business of the devotee of the Lord, surrendering to the process. And as he surrenders to the process, then he becomes achyuta. Isn't it? Here it says achyutatma. Because the devotee of the Lord, when he feels he has nothing left in this material world, he is called a kinchana. He has nothing. He has nothing in this world to protect him. Nothing in this world to depend upon. And the Supreme Lord, he is called a kinchagochara. You see? And when one takes shelter of Krishna in this way, one takes shelter in this way, then they are completely protected by the Supreme Lord. Completely protected. Because we realize there's nothing out there that's going to help us. Is there? Nothing can help you. When you're put in these circumstances, even if you just have loose motion, you know, or dysentery, you're completely helpless. You know, you may think, well, I'll take this pill, I'll take this powder, I'll take this, and nothing is happening. Yet we continue to try to take shelter of all these things. But what is our shelter? There's no other shelter than the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our only shelter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to this world because he is most merciful. He is known as Namo Mahabharandaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurdvishe Namaha. He is the most magnanimous, munificent incarnation of the Lord. But he's not the incarnation of the Lord. One time, one devotee told me he was going to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada in the early days. And Prabhupada said, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now we ask, what are the four principles? Prabhupada was asking, but he was in Prabhupada's room, informal. And he said, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And the boy was thinking, I know that. He said, he is incarnation of Krishna. Right? Prabhupada said, no. He is Krishna. He is Krishna. He's come to engage in these five mellows, the direct relationships of Krishna. Right? He came to give us. He comes in the form of the Panchatattva. He comes in the form of Panchatattva because on the absolute plane, we know that they are all the same. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Charya, we have Gadadhar, and we have Srivas. On the absolute plane, they're all the same. But there's different varieties even in the spiritual world. And these different varieties are there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came just to give the Mayavadis an opportunity to taste the varieties of the spiritual world. Because he is so magnanimous. He is so kind. He's producing shelter for us. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes in this form of achyuta. But he never comes alone. He comes in his five features. And he is always there in these five features. And we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Nityananda, he is like the supreme devotee. And Nityananda Prabhu, he is the supreme spiritual master. And Advaitacharya is the devotee of the devotee. Like that. You see that the Lord comes in these different forms so that he could taste these different mellows. And he can share these mellows with us. He can give us this opportunity to taste them. Because without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we think that we can conquer over the modes of material nature. Isn't it? I do. Maybe you don't. I look around sometimes, I look at the devotees, they're so kind here and so exalted in their learning, and they have this devotional mood. And I think I'm wrapped in the mode of passion so tight I don't know how to get loose. You know, I'm just except to slip into the mode of ignorance. And I look around and see so much goodness, and I think, how to get freed from this? How can I come up to this goodness? And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, to give us something greater than goodness. Because most of us, we depend on what? Artha, kamam, moksha, like that. What's the other one? What's that? Oh, I skipped one. We are all depending on these, isn't it? Even salvation, we think that if we come to this salvation, we can get free from the clutches of the three modes of material nature. And this is very nice, this salvation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us something greater. He came to give us pure love, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee of the Lord is not even attracted to salvation, isn't it? His attraction is to this devotional service of Krishna by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Dvaitacharya, Gadadhar Prabhu, and Srivas. They come and give you that. So if we want to become known as a Chutatma, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, talks that in order to give proper respects to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we know Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is giving respects, that he offers us this Panchatattva Mahamantra, isn't it? The Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktavrinda. So in order to give proper respects to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must say them all. Here are some devotees, they take advantage of Lord Chaitanya and they'll chant other mantras mixed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, so many things they'll say, Prabhupada chants. He said, they're devotees of the Lord, so they can say what they want. But the acharyas and the pure devotees of the Lord, they have given us this process of glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's the most magnanimous, he doesn't accept the offense from the fallen conditioned soul. So Prabhupada said, if you chant this Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then this would be very nice together, he explains. It's very nice together. So you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, you give proper respect to the Panchatattva. You know, sometimes we think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in isolation. He's never in isolation. Just like Krishna is never in isolation. You see? We chant Hare Krishna, you see? Radha Krishna. We're calling out like that. Anyway, the point here is that we must become fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the process for doing that is approaching the Lord. One cannot approach the Lord and get the mercy of the Lord without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And one cannot approach Lord Chaitanya without that mercy. And how can we approach Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You see? So it is recommended to go through these steps. I was meditating I came here 2 days ago, and when I came, the courtyard was full of boxes of books. Huh? Isn't it? So many books over here, so many books over there, so many books over here. And devotees going crazy. I saw crazy devotees. They were like madmen. Isn't it? One devotee had a cart, right? Like a wheelbarrow, we call in America. Had some boxes in it, and two devotees were pushing it. One was on the other side holding, and they were just pushing him, and his feet were just sliding backwards across the marble. And they were laughing. And every time I saw these boys, I was sitting in the office, they're going by with boxes on their shoulder, and they're laughing. They just kept laughing. And all I could think of was Golokera Premadan, Harinam Sankirtan. That the spiritual world had just descended into the courtyard, came right into the courtyard in the form of Krishna. And the devotees were ecstatic. Huh? They were picking up boxes and laughing and running and coming sweating sweat. I touched Vandavati. He's completely soaking wet. And he was just like smiling. He didn't even know who I was. He was just looking at me with this look, and his face was all lit up, and he was like, howdy boy. And I was just touching his back, and I think this guy's intoxicated. He's drunk. Because Krishna just appeared in the courtyard. And then I said, what book is this? And somebody said, Bhagavad Gita, and I looked and it said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the box. I said, I don't think so. Krishna himself came and landed right in the courtyard. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he brought the topmost love of God. He came, Prema Pumartha Mohan. There's nothing higher than this. This is the highest platform, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. You cannot go any higher than this. Then I was watching the devotees going mad. And I was thinking how the Panchatattva, they plundered. You see, when Krishna came, the storehouse of love of God obviously was with Krishna when he appeared. It was obvious. But he did not let you plunder it. He wasn't giving it out. He said, Sarva Dharma Parikyamami Kam Sananam Vraja. You have to surrender unto me. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he said, rip open that storehouse. He broke off the locks, isn't it? Plundered it. Flung the doors open and began to spread this love of God. He gave it to everyone. Here, gave it there. Said, come over here. Chant the holy name of the Lord. They were going, and the more, this is the insanity. The more they began to plunder that storehouse of love of God, and what happened? The more it filled up. And the more they were able to give out, and what happened? More came. And it began to spread all over the planet. Nadia became crazy. Bengal became crazy. More and more it became crazy. There were a few people that got away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a plan for them also. Remember, he was Nimai Pandit. And then he became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyas to catch the rest of them who were running away. You can't get away. I have a plan for all of you. Isn't it? Took sannyas. Even those students of his, and they began to wonder, why is he chanting this gopi gopi like that? Names of the gopis. They immediately surrendered now because he is sannyasi. And he started capturing one at one by one. But the Mayavadis, they've ran away. They took shelter of their Vedic knowledge, right? Their scriptures. But the Lord had a plan for them also, didn't he? He was there to spread this love of Godhead all over. But no one was going to get away. Nobody. And so even he went, he was on his way to Vrindavan, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to, and he stopped in Benares. When he stopped there, some of the Mayavadis, they began to criticize him, talk about him, what kind of sannyasi is he is, phony sannyasi. He's not studying the scripture, he's just doing the sentimentalism, hanging out with these low-class people. Isn't it? They said like this. Criticized him. He was staying in the house of Tapana Mishra, taking his foodstuffs. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just thought, and he smiled, and he didn't deal with them at all. Nothing. After some time, he went to Vrindavan. Then he came back from Vrindavan, and he again stayed at Tapana Mishra's house. He was there. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami, he came also. And the Lord, for 2 months, began to instruct Sanatana Goswami in the science of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar Prabhu, they were in such anxiety. They were in so much anxiety, their hearts were being torn apart. Torn apart. By the criticism of these Mayavadi sannyasis. One day they came into the Lord and they threw themselves at his mercy and said, how long do we have to take this? We can't take it anymore. It's killing us. Actually, in the purports, the Chaitanya Charitamrita at that time, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains how that there is the Kanishtadikari, the Madhyamadikari, and the Uttamadikari. And the Kanishtadikari, he's on this platform where he can, he has some faith in the scriptures, but he doesn't have enough conviction to the conclusion to defeat people in argument. But the Madhyamadikari, he has complete faith in the conclusions of the scripture. And he can defeat these persons. He understands. And the Uttamadikari, well, he just sees everyone as equal. He sees the Supreme Lord in everyone. When he looks, he just sees part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the Uttamadikari comes down to a Madhyamadikari in order to preach. In order to preach. And Prabhupada said in that purport, it was very interesting that because Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar could not defeat these Mayavadis, they were Kanishtadikaris. I found that striking. I was thinking, so many devotees are walking around thinking, well, I've been in the movement 10 years now. I must be Madhyamadikari, or I must be, you know, right? Well, look at me. I had 30 years. I had 36 years. I should be able to. I should be able to see the Lord in everyone, you see? But it doesn't work like that. We also know that Chandrasekhar and Tapamamishra were very not ordinary beings, you know. But in Prabhupada's purport, he was giving us an example. He was showing us. You know, sometimes we think Kanishtadikari is, that's actually a very elevated position. To be able to recognize the Lord is an elevated position. So many people cannot even recognize the Lord in the temple. But we understand even greater than that is to come to the platform to recognize the devotee of the Lord. As we see here, he's called a Chutatma because he is completely surrendered to the Lord, attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, has no shelter. So the Madhyamadikari, he recognizes the devotee of the Lord and he, in the Nectar of Devotion, it describes how that you can even stop the worship to the deity to receive the devotee of the Lord. You see? So the devotee of the Lord is not just to be taken lightly. One must be very careful when they associate with the devotees of the Lord. One must be very careful. So back to this story where the Lord now, he comes back to Benares. And at the very time when Chandrasekhar and Tapana Mishra are pouring their heart out to the Lord, one Brahmin comes in and he bows down before the Lord. He lies down on the floor and he begs the Lord, I know you do not take your meals outside with others, but I'm begging you to come and take some prasad in my home. And he did with such submission, he dandavats on the floor. Prabhupada explains how that this is how we should approach the Lord and the representative of the Lord. Tad vidhi paripatena paripashnena sevaya. That if you want to inquire something from the Lord or his representative, you must approach him with submission and service. You see? It must be submissive inquiry. So he's asking the Lord, please come take prasad. He wants to serve him prasad. He wants to offer him service. So the Lord, because his devotees were in great distress, he thought, I'll go there. We know from Srila Prabhupada's purports that this was an arrangement of the Lord, that this Brahmin would come in, so he could now go and capture the Mayavadis. Because they were trying to get away. But he had a plan for them. So the next day, the Lord, he went to the house of the Brahmana and he saw all these sannyasis sitting in the house of the Brahmana. And the Lord immediately bowed down and offered his obeisances. Immediately. And he got up from that place and he went and he washed his feet. And then he sat down in that place where they washed the feet. Again, the Lord is teaching us an example. He's showing us that even the Mayavadi, what to speak of a sannyasi, one should always bow down when they see the sannyasi. But even a Mayavadi, you should give the respect. It doesn't mean we go out of our way to associate with them, but you can give the respects because they're on some path to Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you get, in his purports, that if you get an opportunity, he said, we don't go looking for an argument, but if you get an opportunity to smash them, then smash them. Smash this philosophy and establish Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. But we don't go out of our way for that. We have other things to do. Serve Krishna. But if opportunity arises, what did Prabhupada say? Kick on their face with boots. Like that. So anyway, so the Lord is there. He is offering his respects. And because of his internal potency, or his potency, his internal, external potency is the same, he began to manifest this brilliance. His effulgence became powerful like the sun. He was so powerful outside that the Mayavadis inside could not help but look at him. And they were staring. He was so beautiful they could not believe the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the leader of the Mayavadis, Prakasananda Saraswati, got up and he went over to the Lord. And he asked the Lord, why are you sitting here in this place? You should come, take seat. And he said, what is your lamentation? Why would you sit here in this dirty place? What is your lamentation? In other words, you must be distressed. You must have some difficulty here. You must be distressed. Because everyone in the material world is looking for the big seat, right? They want the big seat. They want the corner office with the window and the big desk, you see? They want the CEO on the behind their name or in front of their name, whatever they can get. They want to be most important. Especially Mayavadi sannyasis, they are looking for that pecking order. Everyone has to have that pecking order. But here's the Lord, he's sitting down in a dirty place. He must be depressed. He must have some lamentation. What is your lamentation? So he took the Lord by the hand, with his own hand, and lifted him up. And took him to a sitting place and gave him a seat. Prabhupada explains how that when he touched the hand of Prakasananda Saraswati, he touched the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got a gyata sukriti. He got some benefit. It started purifying him so that he could recognize the Lord. Because the Mayavadi sannyasi, he thinks that at perfectional stage, when he leaves his body, he merges and becomes Narayan. But Prakasananda could see that the Lord had already become Narayan. He's looking at him, he's already Narayan. He hasn't even left and he's Narayan. Well, because the Lord gave him mercy with this agyata sukriti. He took him to the side and he sat him down. He said, why? Why do you engage in this kirtan, this chanting and dancing, this sentimental activity? You're a sannyasi. You're a sannyasi in the Bharati line. He is Saraswati, which is a little higher. But you are one of us, he said. You are one of us. You are a very important soul. You are one of us. Why would you engage in this sentimental activity? And the Lord said, with your permission, I'll explain. He said that his spiritual master told him that he was a fool. Now we know the Lord was known as Nimai Pandit. He was a great scholar, defeating people like crazy. So many people he defeated. Young boy. So now he said, my spiritual master said, I'm a fool. That I should simply chant the holy name of the Lord. So he did. And what happened? Immediately became like a madman. His mind became disturbed. Everything was, his external features appeared to be out of sorts. He couldn't, what is going on? I think I'm losing my mind, he thought. So he went back before his spiritual master, and he offered with submission a question. Right? This is what, if you're having some confusion in your spiritual life, then this is the process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us. Then you go before the spiritual master and you lie down and you submit one question to the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master will be able to help you. And that isn't like the question one boy was saying, that I'm really upset with my spiritual master. I don't know. I think I'm committing aparadha. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he promised to get me a wife and he promised to get me a job in America and he hasn't done either one. I said, I don't think that's what it means by spiritual master. He's not supposed to provide all these things for you. He's supposed to provide you a connection to Krishna. His job is to give you a connection to Krishna. Take you back to Godhead. I don't think getting you a job in America and with a wife is going to get you back to Godhead. Maybe he knows better than you do. Maybe you should go back to him and submit yourself all over and figure out what you're supposed to be doing. So the Lord is showing, if you have some confusion about your spiritual life, then you should go back before your spiritual master and offer this question with submission. I have chanted this holy name and I've become mad. I think I'm losing my mind. Huh? And his spiritual master told him that is okay. That he was feeling the ecstasy of the association of Krishna through the holy name. Isn't it? Forgive me because I'm paraphrasing along here. I know that some of you have memorized these things. You're going, no, that's not what he said. But, so I'm paraphrasing. So. So the Lord continued to explain to Prakasananda Saraswati and the other sannyasis his position for chanting the holy name of the Lord. And that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different, isn't it? That if you have the holy name of the Lord and you have Krishna, they're the same. Sometimes we try to separate. Even in our own mala, we try to separate. You know, we're chanting. We forget who we're chanting to, isn't it? We call out to Krishna, O Krishna, O Radhe, O sleep, and we fall asleep. It comes right before you. The Lord is right there before you because he's non-different than his name, and you fall asleep. I like that. Sometimes we are not understanding, you know, we think, well, you know, I'm very advanced now. I'm giving Bhagavatam classes. I preach in the college. I've made so many devotees, you see. But we forget we have done nothing. That all is going on by the hand of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes I go to ISKCON temples and I'm thinking, how in the world is this temple going on? Everyone seems to be completely out of it. And then I realize, oh yeah, it's because Krishna is in charge. And everything is going on by his will. He is accepting our service, but he's maintaining everything because it was Srila Prabhupada's desire to please the spiritual master's desire, to please his spiritual master's, to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to spread this holy name all over the world. Isn't it? So Krishna continues to spread the holy name. Even we try to stop it with our madness. Sometimes we are so crazy. We do so many crazy things, but still Krishna allows us to continue to engage in his service. He maintains everything. He comes here before us. He accepts our worship, our fallible worship. We're sometimes, we forget to blow the conch shell. We forget to, right there, you know, we know what the routine is. We forget it, you know. We do so many things that are kind of insane. We're cooking. We put salt instead of sugar in the sweet rice. So many times. I've seen so many things. But Krishna accepts He doesn't eat that sweet rice, I can pretty much guarantee that. Because Prabhupada said the proof that Krishna ate is that the devotees eat it, and the devotees, they don't eat it. So you know Krishna didn't eat that. But he still accepts our love and our affection when we come to him. But he wants us to be conscious, Krishna conscious. He wants us to be aware of who he is. Isn't it? So if you were Krishna conscious, chances are, well, who knows? Maybe the person in the kitchen was totally, because, you know, we know that some of the greater personalities have tried to milk a bull. You know, they get a little confused when they become absorbed in the Lord. But I don't think that we're on that level. Right? Put our clothes on upside down. The gopis would put the top on the bottom, bottom on the top. They didn't, they were so confused by their absorption in Krishna. So Krishna is, he's accepting the desire of Srila Prabhupada to fulfill the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So the temples are going on. Everything is going on. You see? We see here how wonderful this temple is going on. Because we know that Radhanath Swami is interested in serving Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Fulfilling Prabhupada's desire. Training you boys and girls. So then everything goes on. But even though he is sincere, we are still making our mistakes. I see every day how many mistakes I make. You know. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching this lesson by coming. Not only this tadvadi paripatena, he also says that we should be trying to practice humility with everyone. Isn't it? Trinadapi sunichena. I know that's like a mantra around here. It's a very nice mantra to string and hang around your neck, it is said. So we should do that. Because one cannot do any service without feeling oneself lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer respects to others. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing when he came before these sannyasis. And because he was able to do that, he was able to sit down with them and present Krishna consciousness to them. Sometimes if we come very strong, we are not able to present Krishna consciousness to someone who may be a little inimical. Isn't it? So we must take this lesson from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are beginning the marathon in a couple of days. Some people have already snuck out the door. They cannot help themselves. They are overwhelmed with this stealing and breaking into the storehouse of love of God. So they're already sneaking out. I hear the book scores are increasing each day. In Dadar Station, it is said that by the mercy of the Lord, there will be 1,008 Bhagavad Gita sold on December 1st and 2nd. And 3rd, and 4th, and 5th, and 6th, and 7th. I saw it written on the wall, so I'm just saying it in front of the Lord. I saw it written on the wall. But you cannot take this and say, well, we're going to do it. Because you can't do it. It's not possible to go out there and do that. I have personal experience that each time I thought, I'm going to do this many, I would fall short. But if we take that Trinadapi Sunichena and bow down to the Lord first with submission and beg His mercy, that you'll be able to fulfill the order of the spiritual master, and you go out in the mood that you're going to approach each person with humility and beg them to kindly take this Krishna consciousness seriously, then they will. Maybe I told you this one time before, but I'll give a quick short version of this story. The first time I met Srila Prabhupada in 1971, he was saying that we must go out and convince the non-devotees of the urgency of taking up Krishna consciousness. Huh? The urgency. He also said at that time that we must give Krishna consciousness like they give medicine to a horse. Huh? Two people will hold the head of the horse and one will shove the pill down his throat. Prabhupada said like that. Everybody went, what? And Prabhupada said, but the hand must be greased. You must oil the hand so it goes down nicely. You know. So yes, we must be strong in our assertions, but you must do it nicely. So at that time, I was called Maha Mike. And I was the biggest, at that time we only had like BTGs. And I would take a whole box, a whole case of BTGs, and I would distribute them every day. We'd go on Harinam, and I would distribute that whole box. So I was the biggest BTG distributor in the temple. And so after we came back from visiting Srila Prabhupada, we went on Harinam, I did my thing. I had all these methods that I would put the whole box in my arm at one time. At that time, I was young and strong. I'd put the whole box in my... And that way, the weight would cause me anxiety that I'd have to distribute the BTGs so it wouldn't hurt. See, that was my material method. I had a method to my madness, you know. So I would go and distribute like that. I had all these methods. So that night we came home from doing Harinam, and they announced the scores, and this Bhaktin Judy, she did more than I did. I said, how is this possible? It's not possible. I'm a bigger distributor than she is. I've always been bigger than she is. How is it? Must have been a fluke. You can see I was very advanced in those days. I was very advanced. So the next day, we went out, and I was thinking, maybe I chanted in the kirtan too long, and this time I'll chant a little less and distribute more. So I did. That night we got home. They read the scores. Again, she did more than I did. I'm thinking maybe her corner had, she gets more people over there, and I'm always on this corner. Tomorrow I'll switch corners with her. So I went to her very humbly, false humbly. And I went to her and I said, Mataji. I said, you're here on this corner every day. Everyone knows who you are. If you went over there, less people would know who you are. You'd probably distribute more magazines. She said, oh, okay. So she went over. And I stayed on this side and I'm thinking, now, I'm doing my BTGs. And we got home that night. She defeated me again. How is this possible? My mind was reeling. My false prestige was at risk here. So then, the next day, I thought, I'm going to go find out what she's saying. So I went to her corner, and she approached the person very humbly. She gave the back to Godhead. She said, my spiritual master says that you must understand the urgency of taking up this Krishna consciousness. And tears are coming from her eyes, and I immediately look and I said, I can't compete with this. This is spiritual. She is repeating Prabhupada's words directly to these people. This is spiritual. All my methods cannot defeat this. How can I become spiritual? She became my Sankirtan guru. I began to listen to her speak her mantras. But they were not mantras. They were pleas for these people to give up their material life and take up Krishna consciousness. So if you want to do 1,008 or 10,008, you must take up the words of the spiritual master, the mood of the spiritual master, the mood of Panchatattva, and go out and give out this love of Godhead and not try to develop your false ego in the process, but to surrender, to become a Kinchana without anything material to protect you. You must become completely freed from that. But you cannot do that without lying down on the floor and begging. This is the process. Over and over, I've given this story in Sankirtan classes where I've trained devotees how to do the book distribution. And still today, I go to Vrindavan and I find this woman sitting on the wall in Vrindavan selling books. Still today, she sells books right in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir. She's produced 8 children, and she's done so much service in our movement, and still, she is out there in like 4 languages asking people, kindly take these books because the urgency to take up Krishna consciousness is so important. Her name is Radhakunda Devi Dasi. At that time, she was Bhaktin Judy. So we must see her sincerity has kept her all this time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not let you forget who you are. You may go through so many changes, but when you surrender to the Panchatattva and try to fulfill their desire to capture all of those who are trying to get away, you'll get their mercy. And at the time of death, you'll go join them in that Sankirtan party. That's guaranteed. Srila Prabhupada said that. Krishna is keeping book. He sees how many books go out. So if you want 1,008 books, 7 days, 8 days, 100 days, then you simply surrender to Krishna's will, not to your material strength, your material power, your good looks. I've seen some devotees, they just focus on women when they go out, you know, men. And then there's some women that focus just on men because you have this power, you know. And there's a certain Shakti. But the Panchatattva didn't do that. The Panchatattva distributed love of God to everybody. No qualification. Hey, buddy, come over here. You from Bombay or out of town? You know, whatever you say, you're going to call them to you. You're going to go up to them. I did the marathon in 2000 in Juhu. I was going to Andheri Station, and I would take this little microphone and I would make announcements, and I would sound like I was a radio announcer, you know. I'd say, "Welcome to Andheri Station. We're only here for a limited engagement. We're with KRSNA on your dial 108. Please step right over here. Sir, would you like to say hi to your folks at home?" And the guy's looking at me, "What?" And he's going, "Say hello." And he goes, "Hello." And then you could hear it on the microphone. He thought he was on the radio. And then he would just be talking to the people, and I would gather them around. I'd say, we'd like you to step over here to the table right here. We have them, these Bhagavad Gitas. You've heard of Bhagavad Gitas. We have them in Marathi, Gujarati. We even have them in English. Do you speak English, sir? Step right over here. Take one home. And I would gather them, and then the devotees would sell the books. And then, because Prabhupada said we were like dancing white elephants. So I figured I could do that. I would look like a big white person standing there. Everybody's, "What's that white guy doing over there?" And then I'd start giving this Krishna radio station, and I would bring him over to the table. And we were selling hundreds of books in just a few minutes, you know. And so many books were going out. Our table would be empty, and we would go home in just a couple of hours. And I would just, KRSNA on your dial. "So you heard of Krishna, right?" "Yeah, 108. And come over here." And the people would come. So whatever we do, we have to glorify Krishna, not ourselves. And then these devotees would just give these books to people like the Panchatattva, plundering the storehouse of love. Pretty soon all the boxes were empty. We said, "We've got to go home. Now we got to go back." And then we would leave. And as soon as we'd leave, somebody else would put a table up there. And then they would sell books. It was unlimited. Right? They told me, one devotee told me, the plan to sell 1,008 Bhagavad Gitas is to put so many brahmacharis out there that every time somebody goes by, "You have this Bhagavad Gita? No. You have this Bhagavad Gita? No." And by the time they get to the steps, they think, "What is this?" And they take it from the last guy, see? They take it from the last guy. So many people will be trying, and they take it from the last. It's a great strategy. So the guy in the beginning, his false ego has to be out the window because he's not going to do many books. The guy at the end is going to get the credit, right? So he has to just know that he's part of the flow of love of God. That's all. He has to know this is where the bhakti begins. That's where it ends down there. You know? He has to know he's part of the deal. And Krishna will help you surrender all your false ego. He'll help you give up all these things. But you must be prepared to give them up. You must be prepared to give Krishna. And then you become this Achyutatma. Then you become fixed as a devotee of the Lord. See, here it's Yudhisthira Maharaj is asking a bunch of questions. Prabhupada doesn't really address so much those questions, except in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, like that. So since his purport didn't address them, I'm not going to address them. So I'm just addressing what Prabhupada addressed, and that's the idea of the living entity who is connected to Krishna in loving devotional service. He becomes a chutatma, isn't it? So that is the mood that Srila Prabhupada gave us. It's a very particular mood. It was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That this mood is that we must be engaging all the conditioned souls in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and receiving this transcendental knowledge that is handed down through the Parampara system. You see? There's one story of Srila Prabhupada I'll tell quickly. He was in Gorakhpur, and there was some meeting of all of these so-called spiritual leaders, and they were trying to discuss how they could come together and glorify each other. And so after a three-day conference, they decided that what we'll do is we'll make a library, and in the library will be the Bhagavad Gita translations of all the gurus. Everybody was very happy, but Prabhupada just sat there. And they addressed him, "Swamiji, what do you think of this idea?" Prabhupada said, "I think there should only be one Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is." Huh? One lady who was representing one of the gurus, she jumped up in great anger. "Who are you? How are you? You think your Bhagavad Gita is better than my guru's Bhagavad Gita?" And she stormed out of the room. And there was all this clattering voices, and Prabhupada said, I have not said. Krishna has said, "Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu." Krishna said that the Bhagavad Gita should be handed down from teacher to student, from teacher to student in an unbroken chain coming from Krishna himself. So Prabhupada was just saying, mine's the only one coming from Krishna. So when you're out there on the platform or on the corner or in the street, you know that you have the bona fide Bhagavad Gita coming from Krishna himself, and that this Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself. And when you give out that Bhagavad Gita, you should carry him with loving reverence and know that when I approach you, I'm giving you a chance to take the Supreme Lord not only into your hands or your heart, but into your home so that you can begin to worship the Lord in this form. And when you have that understanding of yourself, that this is not just a book. Isn't it they ask, where will we find the Lord? You know, now, when you leave in the age of Kali Yuga, they said in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're giving out this literature, but it's not just literature. I see devotees, you ever go to those stalls that people are taking you go up and you say, "Well, you have any t-shirts?" And they go, "Yeah, what kind you want?" And they throw out about five, you know, just flip them out there. Well, sometimes I see devotees at the stall. People will come, they'll just pass, throw some books up there, like, here, take one of these. And the books are bouncing. We're not t-shirt wallahs. We're distributors of love of Godhead. We're ambassadors of Krishna consciousness. We're giving people an opportunity to meet Krishna face to face. And when you take that into your heart and take that into your mood when you go to distribute books, people will know this is the bona fide Lord Krishna. You must give respect to him and give him out. But don't take consideration whether they're rich or poor, old or young, fat or skinny, white or whatever color they happen to be. That is not what the Panchatattva did. Just give them out. Rip open those boxes and start shouting, "Haribo!" Right? So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna Sankirtan Marathon ki jai, Hare Krishna. I think we're out of time, so there won't be any questions. Hare Krishna. Good place.